Okay, so we're just going to go over some of the highlights again of the major 4G systems. And so we'll start looking at LTE and LTE Advanced. Again, this is 3GPP's proposed evolution of the OPS 4G. GPP2 is a little beyond that, so it's on board with the same idea. So, again, the main idea here was to improve heterogeneity and improve data rates by using these new techniques. And again, it's been a sort of evolutionary process. LTE did not quite reach 4G requirements, so these requirements have reached the LTE Advanced. Specified in these 10 for GPP is 10, and it's been further refined in subsequent releases. And again, they're looking at various aspects, different aspects, as well as, again, just expanding on the, what they can do with the MIMO and the OFDM. Okay, so the main change, more or less, was improves the air interface, but the network architecture also evolves. Okay. Okay, and so the architecture is simplified. IP is, it's an all IP network. It's again supporting higher throughput and low latencies. And handovers between multiple types of networks. Okay. So, don't worry too much about this. Interface there, we'll connect directly back to the network as opposed to multiple other layers as it were previously. But all different options can be handled within and all different access technologies will be handled by the network and again sending that back in the IP network. Okay. So the channel types are like for UMTS, so you have your physical and logical channels, the transport channel in between. And again, that makes sense. LTE is going to use OFDM now, so CDMA, and this is used in conjunction with various modulation techniques. So you can have multiple bits per signal that's put onto an OFDM carrier. As we saw before, what's going to determine how many bits you have per signaling element is the channel conditions. Signaling elements are frequency differentials for the those intervals, and then pull a specific time period. These symbols are further grouped into resource blocks, so you get a number of adjacent frequencies at the time slot. And then the user will determine the reality of a certain number of resource blocks.
Okay.
So the basic unit of the application is this block, and quality of service negotiations go on to determine how many of these blocks you get.
Okay.
And so, then you have a single resource element, and then you plot that element, you can put more than one bit on that element. Technique you use, and then you're allocated multiple a block of elements at a given time, which means you can set a certain number of bits, then not just one or two bits, or something, a larger number of bits over that number of that amount of time. And so, again, you know, one block is a resource element, and so, depending on how many bits you send, you get that many bits.
Okay. So, on the uplink,
you get a form of orthogonal frequency regional access. And so that's what the users do for the summons, so channels. And start sleeping with the blocks refer to down
the transmission data in the downlink direction. Okay. So quality of service is now explicitly addressed, and the packet flow is between the network and from the network to the user, and resources are going to be allocated flow basis. The user then can do whatever they want within the flow, so the data received can be from multiple applications. But the quality of service is on the per flow basis, so yeah, all whatever you do has to be the flows are identified according to class, and so the class is going to distinguish what the quality of service requirements are. So it's identified as a resource type. So the guaranteed and non-guaranteed bit rate, a priority, so this is more or less important, a delay, so how much delay can we tolerate, and an error rate. Okay, so so the number of bits will be fine, as we'll see, and then the network decides if it has the resources to support this, and if it does, the allocation of the resources is according to whatever QCI you've defined.
Okay.
So, again, you have various identifiers, and they are basically associated with different types of applications, so voice and voice video messaging, etc. And according to that, you get a priority, and the delay columns is fine and narrow, and it's the bottom.
Again, the bit rate depends on how many of these you have. Okay.
So anyway, you're going to label it with these. And then, again, the resource allocation is going to take into account the priority of the delay, et cetera.
Okay. MIMO is used within LTE. And so the uplink direction uses multi-user MIMO. And gravity extent is better from when it has one antenna. And so, again, multiple users who transmit on the same source block. And then it can be used to distinguish between the different users. In the downlink direction, larger configurations are used. 2x2 is fairly common. And this is used for spatial diversity, so to improve the quality.
Flow, not to increase the data,
to improve the quality of the data, a single data stream, not to actually increase the data streams. Okay, and again, that's being improved all the time,
with larger configurations, with multiple purposes being considered.
Okay.
Both time and frequency division do multiplex in their lab, and so when you have your uplink downlink pair, you can distinguish those either according to a frequency shift or a time shift. Time division duplexing is preferred, but the frequency division duplexing is supported to allow migration from 3G systems. The time division allows for lower costs. Hardware, the channel characteristics would be the same in both directions since you're using the same frequency spectrum. And you can dynamically change the uplink and downlink capacities.
Greater synchronization is required. Okay, so again, that's just a few highlights. And from our perspective, the main thing is that we introduced LTE and MIMO into the system. LTE Advanced, then, is to some extent more of the same. Keep trying for larger data rates and higher capacity. So, here we see we have the specs for UMTS and then LTE and then LTE Advanced. Okay, so we're again improving
LTE introduced all of these changes, particularly the MIMO, and then LTE advanced is just within that trying to further improvements to get better performance. Okay, so between LTE and MIMO, we increase the data rates 10 times, decrease the latency. Again, we're using similar techniques, just more of them. Okay. So, get off the end of MIMO, a basic strategy for how this is done. And again, the more antennas you use, the better either quality or data rates you're going to get. Additional to this, a lot of carrier aggregation is going to go on. So you're going to group together multiple channels and allow the user to use more than one channel. So the idea is you want to be able to use the user greater bandwidth and actually more carriers. And so this can be done sort of either as adjacent carriers or non-adjacent carriers. Okay. Obviously, the quality of the signal is going to depend on where you are relative to the base station, and so that's even at the UMTS and the quality channel. Obviously, you're changing the multiplexing techniques, etc. Some modulation techniques, the loading techniques depend on the quality of the channel, that depends essentially on how far you're base station. Now we allow for another technique, which is that if you're sort of on the edge of a cell, multiple base stations can be used to support your signal. So this is called coordinated multiple. So you might not be getting the greatest signal from any of them, but three can combine to try to improve your quality. Obviously, this adds the complexity of the base stations, and then they have to coordinate, they have to agree on what they're going to send you. LTE Advanced also introduces relays. So in addition to the base stations, you have supporting equipment, which again is used to improve the connectivity by making the user close, by letting the user be closer to the access point. So now, instead of having to connect directly to the base station, you can connect through the relay and back to the base station. So with the theory, you're probably closer to the relay and therefore can get a higher quality signal. So the relays that we receive, modulate the code, employs error correction to a signal and then transmits. So again, from a one-hop system, you go to a two-hop system. Relays are good enough for the user to look like a base station for the user, or the ones that are really indistinguishable from the base stations.
Okay, so again, the main
takeaway is that, again, LT and LT Advanced are introducing the techniques of OFDM and MIMO in order to improve the data rates. This is done in conjunction with other techniques like carrier aggregation and some of the techniques we saw before in terms of tailoring modulation to channel quality are still in use.
So our final topic is WiMAX and 802.16n, which is one of the advanced evolution of WiMAX. And I sort of put a little bit in here for a couple of reasons. Well, one is it still is a technique that's in use. And as I said before, it's actually standard to propose the use of OFDM and MIMO. And it also is much earlier to adopt issues that are related regarding quality of service. So, some said that to you, that the advanced looked at what was good about WiMAX and adopted that. Okay. So, WiMAX did not start out having anything to do with cellular telephony. It was proposed as a point-to-point wireless broadband connection. Okay. With the idea, again, of delivering the last mile broadband service, so a wireless broadband service. So, having said that, they also propose other applications, including dealing with mobility, being used as backbone network for things like Wi-Fi hotspots, etc. And again, they were the first to propose these higher speed, higher data rate techniques. And because they have that higher data rate, they were able to argue that, again, qualified as an error because for 3G and later for 4G. Okay. So, again, WiMAX is part of that IEEE 802 family, so it's just again specifying these point to point connections. And so, as such, it's got the remaining standard and then a lot of substandards. Standard for the 802.16e, which added to the 802.16e 2004 with the support for mobility and performance, and what they needed for that is some sort of handover support. Okay. It introduced scalable OFDMA, so tailor in your OFDM offering to the size of your channels. It improves coverage using antenna diversity schemes and some
some sort of AI tools.
Okay.
And so these standards have been improved over time, and the current offering is wireless WAN and bands. And then this is certified as 4G compliant.
Okay. So again, there's a lot of different permutations within the standard. Therefore, you aren't guaranteed interoperability. There's a number of possible physical layers and a number of choices within the MAC layer and other portions of the system in order to deal with the interoperability issue.
You have to sort of narrow down the options and specify exactly what you're offering. Okay. This offering is divided in two pieces. The first is a system profile, which defines the following MAC layer features that you're using. And then, based on that, you have a certification profile, which further defines things like operating frequency channel and these are certain
system parameters. Okay.
And so, the equipment gets certified against these certification profiles. So, if two pieces of equipment have the same certification profile, then they'll work together. And so the body responsible for certifying against the profiles is the WAN-X forum. And so again, this is an industry-based consortium. Oversees the standards and then again certifies against those standards.
Okay, so like most Leo 802 family, you've got PHY and MAC layers specified. And so
the MAC then is subdivided into three functions. You have a security sublayer, which provides encryption and authentication. We have the MAC layer providing access to public service. And then you have a convergence sublayer, which will allow you to interface to other networks. Okay. So you can do APN, Ethernet, IP networks, so whatever you're sending your packets out to. Mobile networks, etc., that you can interface to that.
Okay.
So again, they discuss define. Interested in is OFDM based, and so that's giving you the high data rates characteristics. And again, this proposal can be used in conjunction with LIMO. So
bandwidth that's available. So more bandwidth, greater data rates.
Like we've seen with the cellular systems, your modulation and coding, error coding is going to be dependent on the channel quality. So the lower the quality, sometimes slower you send the data, and the more error correction, the more redundancy you add. So, retransmissions are possible, so this is sort of keeping them in the A2 view of the world. So, ARQ is provided, and this is a combination of four error corrections. Both time division and frequency division. Duplexing are provided, and again, it's based on LFDM
and LIMO. Okay.
Quality of service is catered for, and what we'll see is the map is connection oriented, so.
This allows
the support of quality of service, and so it's divided into a number of categories that you'll have to look at in minutes. And here you can have multiple connections, any single user can have multiple connections with different quality of service requirements. And security is authentication, and mobility supported, and five error additions go along with the usual channel estimation, power control, etc. And again, that makes you some find some channel. Okay, and again, it's IP based, coming from the 802 world. Okay, then WiMAX uses OFDM and instantiates that using a fast forwarded transform. The initial offering that the forward transform is of a fixed size, so the number of channels. Information. And because of the size of the forward transform, the channel bandwidth, your subcarrier spacing is dependent on the channel bandwidth. Okay. So the higher the bandwidth, the shorter the symbol time, etc.
Okay, in more modern forms of WiMAX, the fast forward transform is now scalable, and the subcarrier's spacing remains the same. Okay, and so that makes the angle of the light spread easier because the light spread is fixed.
And so, in this case, and then with increases, you have a larger fast forward transform, and
So users share the system resources via OFDMA, which allows allocation based on the subcarriers and time slots, similar to what we saw for LTE. Resources up into time slots. Okay. So the resource allocations are a combination of those time slots and frequency allocations. Users will be assigned contiguous series of blocks. Or possibly, if we're going to get concerned with the balance, the channel quality, then spread spectrum by spreading your channels so it's not configured, it's not configured, and therefore you can use spread spectrum improvements. Since it's a point to point controlled access, the access point can determine who gets those resources, and it can use that to provide quality of service. Okay. And it can also assess channel conditions and so. Resource allocations are done in either direction. Okay. So, again, if you think of a number of the OFDM symbols, and that's across carrier time slot, then this gets chunked up into a block, and within that frame, and within that frame, you have control information, and then channel allocation in either the bandwidth or the direction. Okay, and the base station will determine how that allocation is done and users will know when to transmit or when to look for. So, as in our cellular techniques, we can use adaptive modulation coding depending on the quality of the channel. Modulation coding is changes on a burst-by-burst basis, so within a given block or burst, transmission you keep it the same, but then when the next round comes, you can. Station to try and determine 52 possible combinations
of modulation encoding, depending on the channel characteristics.
Okay, this is quite similar to what we've seen before. Again, varies depending on whether you're uplink or downlink, but you have a number of modulations. Close group channel characteristics, sign of the high data rates, and then probably amount of coding, and as you get farther at, reduce your data rates and increase the amount of coding that you're doing. As I mentioned, there's hybrid ARQ, so it's a combination of forward error correction and ARQ techniques. And this comes in type 1 and type 2. And so in type 1, lots of data are encoded with cyclic redundancy codes. And additional forward error correction. And so you attempt to use your forward error correction to repair any errors in the block, and then finally want to request retransmission. Usually, ARQ is done using stopping lights. That's relatively slow. If type 2 allows for encoding schemes.
Okay. So,
in terms of again, medium access, a good bit of this is going to be controlled by the base station, but there is some intention used to allow users to request resources. So the downlink direction, again, you're basically assuming almost complete control that sees what's coming in and just decides how it's going to send it out. In the uplink direction, again, received from the mobile stations. And so there's some contention when you're pumping your requests, and then based on the request, station typically uses some form of polling then to receive additional requests from that user. So it makes a connection with the user. And the user polling to solicit requests. So in this way, it's very little in AV211 that's AV216 that's contention based. Since it's all pretty much controlled by the base station, this means that the base station can allocate resources based on quality of service considerations. Okay, so we'll have a look at how this is done. Again, it's pretty much categorizes standard types of applications and into the lesser five classes. Then based on that characterization, in different ways for each of these classes. Okay. So, again, the service flow is a basic unit of service flow, and this is one single direction flow of packets
with specific quality of service
parameters. So typically you can think of the manual direction sending stream delivery or sending voice packet, etc. to the user. And that has to be identified. And then parameters within that flow are identified. Again, what parameters depends on the type of traffic that you're
proposing to send.
Okay. So, class of traffic is defined as service, and RMAX allows for five different service types, services, and then again, bridges of service, you have certain parameters defined, and some decision as to how you allocate the resources for those services. So, the five services are unsolicited grant service, and this is under the assumption that you need a regular, a periodic fixed, you're sending a periodic fixed amount of data. So something like a voice over IP. Then you have real-time polling services. And here the assumption is that you're sending a periodic amount of data, but it's not of a fixed size. So an example of that again would be videos, so streaming your videos. So if the frame sizes vary, so you need, so there's a periodic requirement, but you don't know exactly what it is. Then you have non-real-time polling services. So again, these are delay tolerance applications that nevertheless need some bandwidth allocation. So you're not willing to wait just endlessly. But you don't have to have it necessarily periodic either. Best effort services. Best effort is best effort. And then extended real-time polling services. And so with real-time polling services, you ask, well, what's the exact allocation? With extended real-time polling services, you give a certain allocation and then ask if they need anything more. Okay. Okay, so looking in a little more detail, again, our unsolicited grant service supports fixed size data packets at a constant bit rate. So something like voice over IP and silence suppressions attempts to cover that. And so obviously we need to indicate what your bit rate is going to be, and then what your rate is, what you'll tolerate in terms of latency and jitter, and whether you will need retransmissions or not. And so, based on that negotiation, base station is going to allocate the resources, and the way this is done for unsolicited grant service is you just allocate a certain amount of resources on a periodic basis. So there's no need for any more requests from the user. So we're just given those resources. Okay, so for real-time polling services, you know you're going to regularly need resources, but you don't know exactly how much at any given time. So again, this is video streaming that you can call into that category typically. Okay. So we indicated another guy at the minimum requirements and maximum requirements. And so the fact that we use to determine whether the resources are available. And yeah, the latency tolerance. So here, the base station is going to ask on a regular basis how much resources are required. And that polling happens frequently enough that you don't have problems with latency. So again, we've eliminated any need for the user to contend to get access to the resources. Non-real-time polling services. Support delay tolerant data streams where you still need some. This might be FTP, so you want to see that your file's arrived, but you're not viewing it or listening to it, so it doesn't matter. It comes and fits and starts as long as it gets there in a reasonable amount of time. Okay, so again, specify the minimum and maximum rates. Priority, so is this important or not? And errors or not. Okay. Again, the base station will allocate the resources based on polling requests, but this is done much less frequently than for real-time services. Since it's done less frequently, the mobile stations can also request more resources during a contention-based session as well.
Okay. Yeah.
Best effort is best effort, so again, you can prioritize. You have to tell the promise you gave them, only send so much data, probably errors or not. And in this case, we will have a contention based polling session. So there will be periodic opportunities in which the mobile stations can contend for the resources. The contention is accepting in the requests. Once the request gets in, then the base station will allocate resources. And finally, extended real-time variable rate services supports again real-time applications requiring guarantees on rate and delay. But here you will actually receive a minimal allocation, so there is a basic allocation you receive, but you can request additional resources as well as part of your
allocation as part of your allocation polling session. Okay, so again, WiMAX was the first to propose a lot of these ideas. It was the first to start considering quality of service in any significant way. It was the first to start using MIMO and RFDM. There are various, and it has evolved over time, so we're improving on the data rates provided by the AIR interface. We're defining relays. We're defining mobility. So 802.11.16m is satisfies the 4G standards, and it extends and improves the MIMO modes, increases water capacity, finds relays, finds femtocells. Don't know more about that. We haven't really covered that. Improves handover, et cetera. Again, it's just refining what we have before. Okay. And so, again, the basics are the same. We've improved on MIMO. Okay, so again, that's it for today. Again, the main concepts are the idea of OFDM and MIMO, and they've been used for both LTE and WiMAX systems. I have a bunch of references. This is pretty much the basics, more or less at the level that we covered today. If you want to dig into some of the mathematics, then this second tutorial gives you a lot better description of the sort of mathematical basics. Radio electronics as a discussion of the MIMO technologies. As well as the LTE, and then in terms of WiMAX, for the basic WiMAX, this is a series of discussions on the nuts and bolts of WiMAX. Okay, they have a book as well, but that's way too much detail. Okay, so that's it for today. That concludes the examinable material for the module. I'll give a talk next week on Bluetooth, but hopefully I didn't ask any questions. I'll just make sure I didn't, but I'm pretty sure I didn't ask any questions about Bluetooth on the exam anyway. So, again, we'll talk about Bluetooth. It is sort of interesting. It's yet another application for wireless technologies. It's sort of over short distances. So I'll see you guys next week. I'll say a few words about the exam. So, nothing too detailed. There's loads of old exams you can get.